In Luke 15, we have the story of a young man who lost everything because he thought he knew what was best. Have you ever gotten lost in a strange city? Now us men will say, nah, I knew where I was going. I just wanted to see the scenery. But we've all been lost, and sometimes it's terribly frightening. Imagine the thought of this young man who had taken everything he had coming to him, his inheritance from his father, and left, and as the scripture says, gone to a far city and thought that he was going to have a great time and a great life to come. It doesn't take long as you read the scripture there that you find that he had spent everything, wasted everything, and wound up feeding pigs and hungry to boot. For a young Jewish man, that was the very depth of failure. The very depth of failure. He realized suddenly that he had made a big mistake. And as we talk about it today, we want to answer the question, what do you do when you've blown it and you've lost your way in life? I have several things here that talk about that. Now, you notice in the scripture here in Luke 15, it starts out in verse 17, and it says, when he came to his senses. I think the idea behind that, you could do a whole sermon on just that. Because this young man had lost his way, not only in terms of his thinking, not only in terms of his family, but he had lost his way in terms of his whole life. In fact, had almost lost his life totally itself. When he came to his senses, the first thing he felt was regret. That song you just heard applies well to that, doesn't it? Regret. Have you ever had anything that you regretted in your life? If you haven't, you're not human. Okay? The key phrase there, turn to the slide there, please. The key phrase there is this: how many of my father's servants had food to spare? And that's in the middle of his hunger. That's in the middle of his shame. It says he would have eaten what the hogs had to eat if they would have let him. And suddenly he wakes up and says, how foolish I've been, if only. And that's the key phrase, isn't it, in regret? If only I hadn't. And we can go on and name all the things that we regret. Regret is not enough to change your life for the good. This young man regretted what he had done. He regretted the situation he was in. How many times have we regretted something that we did and we couldn't change it? Or we wouldn't change it because we were too stubborn? Regret is not enough to change your life for the good. And one of the key things we're talking about this morning is this: a changed life begins with a change of heart. A changed life begins with a change of heart. Now, we're not talking about that thing that ticks inside your chest, obviously. We're talking about the real you, the inner person that's in there. You remember Psalm 139? In that psalm, David talks about God knowing him wherever he's at. And as he talks in that psalm, he says, you know me completely. You knew me before I was born. You knew me before my parents knew me. You knew me in eternity past, and you know me completely, everything about me. And I cannot escape you. And as David is talking about that in Psalm 139, he says in the last verses there, in verse 23, in light of that, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. What David is saying to God is, God, you know me better than I know me. You know better than my parents know me. You know me better than my spouse knows me. Because you know me down to the very molecules I'm made of. And he says, in light of that, God, search me out. Look inside of me. Look to the depth of who I am and what I am. And then he goes on to say, test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What's he doing? He's saying, I regret so much. But God, I want you to show me who I am so that I can change. And that's why we say a changed life begins with a changed heart, the inner you. You can do superficial things that make people believe you're somebody special. But it's what happens inside that really counts, that really makes the difference. That's where the change needs to happen. You notice, too, that he realized something. And what he said was, I'm starving. I'm starving. And what he's doing there is the light's beginning to shine, and he realizes his true condition. Realization of our true condition often only comes when all seems lost. Let's say it again. Realization of our own true condition usually only comes when all seems lost. How many times have you had to be on the ground looking up before you look up to God? When things are going well, we're figuring, hey, I'm doing pretty good, right? But when we have nothing and we can foresee nothing in the future, that's when we tend to say, you know what, when all else fails, let's look up. Isn't that true? And that's what this young man does. A change of heart begins when we agree with God's evaluation of our condition. A change of heart begins when we agree with God's evaluation of our condition. In other words, we have to begin where the problem is. Like when you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you you've got a bad problem, you need to fix it. And so you go home and you say, he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm going to go ahead and do my way. Until you get so sick that you can't hold your head up anymore, then you say, you know what? He might have been right. Isn't that what we do to God? Isn't that what we do to God? We don't agree with his evaluation, so we continue. And most of the time, we're afraid to have our lives evaluated by God because we don't want to know the truth. A change of heart begins when we agree with what God says about us, about his evaluation of us. And then we need to be open to the Holy Spirit's scrutiny. That's what he's saying in Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Search me. Get down to the bottom of me. I think in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, a couple of my favorite verses, he says, the word of God is like a sword that can pierce down to the very core of a person. Except the word of God pierces to the very core of who you really are. And when we allow God's word to touch our lives, and when we listen to it and allow the Holy Spirit to use it, he can show us what we are or what we aren't. And then he can help us to fix it. But like a doctor, unless we let him do his surgery, we won't get any better. Regret is great, but it needs to be followed by realization of what we are. And then you'll notice this young man does something else. He resolves to change. The key word there is, I will go back. I will go back. Honest evaluation should produce an authentic resolve to change. Honest evaluation should produce an authentic resolve to change. Right? But so many times our resolutions don't work. How many times have you resolved on New Year's Eve to do this, 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 and this? And by January the 1st, you've already broken it. Resolutions, well, they're important, but we need to be careful. I think one of the things that is important with resolutions is confession. Confession is an important part for change. Because what confession does is admit what you are and what you are not. Confession is, and we know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so often we look at confession this way. Well, I can do what I want, and then I can always confess. That's not the spirit of confession. Confession is what David did in Psalm 51, where he speaks about his crime of having Bathsheba's husband killed because he had had sex with her and she was pregnant and he didn't want anybody else to know. Confession is when you say to God, like David did in that psalm, God, I am a sinner. I did it. I confess it. I'm guilty. No one else is to blame for this except me. Sometimes confession is, God, my life is a mess. And nobody caused it. I did. Nobody chose this for me. I did. Nobody made me do it. I wanted it. And I was wrong. What this man resolved to do was to return. That's the next word. It says there, so he said, so he got up and went to his father. So he got up and went to his father. Now he could have been regretful. He could have realized his condition. He could have resolved to do it and then stayed where he was. Lots of people are right there. They're stuck there at the resolve. He showed commitment to real change by moving out of his wretched condition. One of the biggest steps that we have when we've lost it, when we are done with life, so to speak, when we've blown it, is to get up and do something about it, to get out of there. Most of us men, when we are lost, will not confess it, will not regret it, will not even realize it, will not return. We usually just wander. But you know what, ladies, you do it too. And we do that with the things that have a hold of us. And what we do most of the time is, instead of returning to God and getting this all straight, we just say, well, you know, I need to feel better. So we do that thing that we do, that we think will make us feel better, but all it does is sink us deeper into the muck of the pig pen. Isn't that right? That vicious cycle of habit. And whether it's drugs or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's a vicious cycle that continues. And we can resolve all we want, but we've got to step out of the pig pen, move on. And that's the next thing. Resolutions are useless without action. Resolutions are useless without actions. January 31st, I resolved, I will lose 20 pounds in 2016. And 22 pounds later, I have regretted it. I haven't done anything about it. I resolved to lose that weight before my granddaughter's wedding. Miss Olga's going to help me remember, right, Miss Olga? Okay. Regret, realize, resolve, return. But the most important step is renewal. Renewal. That young man had to go back to his family and get things started over again. He had to renew his relationships with his parents and with the other people there. The key words there are in Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Now, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is speaking to Christians, many of whom have trusted Christ, many of whom probably are pretty good people, most of all, but they are not really getting anywhere for God. And you may know it by heart, but let me read it. In verse 1, Paul says, therefore. And when he says therefore, it's there for a reason. The first 11 chapters, he's talking about our great salvation and the sacrifice Christ made for our sins. And he says, in light of that, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then he shows them how to do it. He says in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by a renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. The last word is renew. 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 Wouldn't you like, and I'm speaking to those of us my age and above, wouldn't you love to be at the prime of your life again? Wouldn't it be great? And to know all you know today? Wouldn't that be exciting? Sorry, it ain't happening. We start dying the day we're born. But one of these days we'll be in heaven, and that'll be a different story. But he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I've said it before here. The word transform there is the word that we use when we talk about a bug that's ugly and nasty looking, turning into a beautiful butterfly. It's that work within that caterpillar, after he begins to spin that web around himself, and he starts to change from inside out. You see, you can't take a caterpillar and stick wings on him and make him fly. There's something within him that changes him. And that's what he's talking about. Change from inside. A renewed mind produces a renewed life. A renewed mind produces a renewed life. And that's the whole idea behind this program, is that your thinking is changed. And it's not just changed by nice thoughts, by great sayings, by Confucius says or somebody. It's changed through the Word of God. And that's the only way any of us can change. Philippians chapter 4, as Paul writes to the Philippians. And these are two of my favorite verses. Again, everybody says you got so many favorite verses. I guess every one of them are favorite, but these are good too. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, look there. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. And what he's saying is this, you conform your thinking to the Word of God. Think on these things. And think about this, when you are grumpy and irritated, is it because you've been thinking about lovely things? No, it's because you've been thinking about the wrong things. When you are tempted and you want to do something that's a habit, are you tempted because you're thinking about pure things? No. It starts in here and it shows out in our lives. So as he talks about renewal, it comes from God's word. Think on these things. And then he goes on in verse 9, put the things you learn to practice. Because like everything else, you know, it's not only, you can not only think about it, you have to live it out. And I've used this before. You know, when you talk to somebody and you say you love them, does that convince them? No, usually it doesn't. If you say one thing and do the other, they're not convinced. If you say you love your husband, remember this? If you say you love your husband, and everything, every time he walks in the door, you say, honey, I love you, bong, and him with a pan. Look, we're kind of slow, but even men would figure it out. Okay? So he says, think on these things, but do these things. In verse 9 there, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And that's the key. It's not that hard to be renewed. Get the Word of God in your mind. Obey it. Live it out. And change happens in your life. This young man found it out. He was wrong. He regretted it. He realized it. He resolved to go back. He returned. And he was renewed. That's not a one-time thing, by the way. It's a continual thing. When Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he's saying, continually be renewed. So as one of the ladies said, it's a matter of being with God's people in fellowship, being in God's word in obedience, living out the truth in your life every day. How about you? You feel lost today? You're frustrated with your life? You're tired of it? You want to see some change? Change starts with trusting Christ as your Savior. You don't have anybody to help you until you do that. And I'd encourage you to do that today as we bow in just a minute. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you so much for these two ladies that have gone through this course. We recognize that they have dealt with a lot of hard things. And we know that they are not perfect, just like the rest of us. They have a ways to go yet. We thank you that they have started on the path to real change. And our prayer for them is that you would help them to deal with their lives with the truth of God's word. And we pray this morning for anybody here who needs that same change, that you might touch their hearts, that they might understand your truth, and they might live your truth and see a changed life. Now maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. The Bible says that you're a sinner like the rest of us. And it says that that sin won't let you get to heaven, but it does tell us that Christ died in your place and that you can receive that salvation and forgiveness of sin by trusting Him as your Savior. I'd encourage you to do that today. And Heavenly Father, we pray for any here who have never trusted Christ. We ask that you might help them to understand and receive that free gift. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.